You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks. Whether you find yourself in a good place or a difficult place, perhaps even in a very lonely place, you've come to the right place. Pastor Richard will challenge and encourage you today with God's hope. Now, a reminder that you can always listen to, download, and even share this or any talk with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. Then, at the end of today's program, you'll hear some very time-sensitive and important details from Richard himself on the future of Richard Ellis Talks, as we're literally just trying to keep the lights on so we can continue to be God's light of hope for you and the ones you love. So let's jump right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Ignoramus. So I did a little research and I found some information. And then actually during this service today, I asked an African-American friend of mine here to send me some additional information that he just came up with off the top of his head. And it's interesting how much these matched up. So I'm about to read you a couple of lists. I found the definition that someone came up for an ignorant person. If you're ignorant of something, you just haven't seen it or learned it, and that can be excused. But if you do something so outrageously awful that the color just drains out of our faces when we hear of it, then that's just ignorant, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. So it's one thing to be ignorant, which we'll see in a minute can mean just to not know. And then there's another word that, oddly enough, intertwines with this, and it's the word to ignore. You're an ignorant person. So I did a little research of things that white people have a tendency to say to black people that reveal how just tragically ignorant white people are. So here's a few of them. Can I touch your hair? Okay, next one. Do you play basketball? What's the implication? That all black people play basketball. I wish I had darker skin like yours. Why are black people always on welfare? Now see, when I started reading the list, some of it was funny. It's not funny anymore, is it? Because if you're the person at the end of this, and then the last one he sent me is, why are black people always angry? Now you say, but clearly those are ignorant people that say things like that. Let me add something to that. You might be an ignorant person for thinking something like that. It's not always what you say. If that's what you're thinking, you say, well, why are you highlighting African-American people and their issues? There's other people that have issues. Sometimes you listen for one issue and make sure they know you're listening before you move on to the next issue. That's okay. Now, let me read you some definitions. To ignore is not to know, to be ignorant of, be unaware of, not to know, be unacquainted, take no notice of, disregard. So it's not just that you don't know, you take no notice of, you disregard. Pass over without notice, pay no attention to. Now let me just tell you on the ignore category where we fall so short. Someone is trying to say something and we say, dude, there's no issue there, just keep moving. There's nothing there. The problem with that ignoring is it reflects so much ignorance in terms of what they are trying to say something that is real to them, and to not acknowledge that does not make them look crazy, it makes us look nuts. Anybody on the other end of that? You say, well, I'm so frustrated, I just don't get all this. You have no idea, we have no idea sometimes how we come across even in that frustration. Just listen. Even if you don't agree, just listen. Now, ignorant is lacking wisdom or knowledge, unaware. So you lack it, but you're not aware of it. Not to know, not to be acquainted, mistake, misunderstand, take no notice of, or pay no attention to. So it's interesting how ignorant can sound like ignore. Very similar. So ignorant people tend to ignore sometimes the extremely obvious. At least the obvious to everyone else that's not ignorant to what's going on. One more definition, it's from influenced by related Latin ignotus, unknown, strange, unrecognized, unfamiliar, ill-mannered, uncouth, knowing nothing of good manners. Go to Isaiah 56. Let's start plowing through some of this. Isaiah 56, and let's go down to verse 6. Also, the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for what? For all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yes, I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. So whether you like it or not, he's gathering everybody, all nations, tribes, tongue, languages, people. It's everybody. And as I've said recently, there ain't no South Heaven. All you beasts of the field come to devour. All you beasts in the forest, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today and much more abundant. In other words, let's just do what we've been doing. It's blind, it's ignorant, it's dumb dogs. He's talking about their leaders. Just the same old, same old. Go to Luke chapter 23. Now, the great thing about scripture and about God, about Jesus coming, is that there's mercy, okay? So God knows what he's dealing with. Even Jesus knew what he was dealing with. Luke chapter 23. Now this is Jesus nailed to a cross, dying for our sins. And what is he hanging on the cross? A few of the last words that he speaks. Luke 23 verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, talking to his father, forgive them for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Hanging on the cross, what is he saying? They're ignorant. They have no idea what they're doing and what they've done. It had to be done. Glad it got done. It works out, even for him later, works out okay. Gets raised from the dead. But in that moment, to be acknowledging and saying out loud, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Go to Acts chapter 3. Follow up on that same concept. Acts chapter 3, a few pages to the right. Everybody got it? Acts chapter 3, let's go down to verse 14. And we're jumping in this discourse here. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And by the way, the whole gospel is just right there. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And if you go up in this chapter, Peter has healed a guy that's sick, lame, and they can't argue with it. Everybody's seen the guy sitting there for years and he's over 40 years old, so there's nothing they can do about it. So they acknowledge it, that something has happened, something miraculous. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. So even here he says, look, you did it. And what Jesus said on the cross, now he's acknowledging you did it in ignorance. You weren't aware what you were doing. Now, before I forget this, we'll insert this. Even if you do something ignorantly, you are still responsible. Now, you may get mercy. You may actually break some law you weren't aware of or something. You know, you say, well, officer, yes, sir, no, sir. You know, I didn't see the sign, and there are freeway spots. I can tell you where all these are, where it's 75, and it, bam, it drops to 65, and some little municipality is making money off of this drop, and if you miss that sign. But if you get pulled over, and you've been going 75 legally for 100 miles, the sign is the sign. And you say, well, officer, well, sorry, you know, that's our tax base, so here's your ticket, right? Well, I was ignorant. Well, and now you're going to be broke. So, you know, what do you do? You're still responsible. So ignorance can be a reason. You just didn't know. But even then, you have to find out what you need to do to correct that and correct that. We'll read some verses to that effect. Okay? So yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. I don't think Pilate knew that he was turning over Jesus, the God of the universe, to be crucified for the sins of the world. He just gets sucked into some political deal where the Jews demanded they could demand somebody be released. They picked that guy, not this guy. His wife's even saying, hey, wash your hands of this. I'm out. Do not have anything to do with this man. He didn't know what he was doing. So you can sin, not this premeditated willful sin, which there's a remedy for that, but you can be unwill, you know, just kind of, it happens. You find out later, wow, I had no idea. Go to Acts chapter 4, next chapter. Same story going on here. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? They're not denying that something happened miraculous. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Pretty articulate. And look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were literally ignoramuses. The word in Greek is idiotes, idiots. When they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. How can that be coming out of what we know to be an ignorant person and just a complete idiot? These guys appear to them to be idiots. It's amazing how Christ can trump even ignoramanosity. That's not even a word, but there we go. Ignoramusosity, that might be better. Stop saying you don't know. And by the way, if you don't know, learn. If you're ignorant in the best of senses, you just don't know, then don't ignore the fact that you're ignorant and live and die that way. Learn. Ask questions. You say, well, I don't want to look stupid like I don't know. We already know you don't know. People know that about me. Just admit you don't know and say, help me, teach me. Now, if you're ignorant and you don't do something about that, then you're slipping into stupid, which is a word we don't use around here anymore, but for effect, there it is. Do something about your ignorance. So look at what else it says here, verse 13, Acts 4. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled like, wow, what is going on? And they realized what? What was the distinguishing difference and factor? They realized that they had been with Jesus. No matter how ignorant in the best of ways you are, when someone looks at your life and goes, that man, that woman has been with Jesus, that takes out everything. Stop using your ignorance as an excuse for why God can't use you. Learn, listen, ask questions, get in. Don't isolate yourself. Don't pull away and go, oh, I'm going to be embarrassed. You can't imagine how many people won't come to church because they're terrified that they're going to look stupid when really all they are is ignorant. How would you know if no one's taught you? You've got a high-ranking official, probably a dark-skinned man, leaving Jerusalem, going back to Ethiopia, runs the treasury for the queen of Ethiopia. He's somehow gotten a hold of a scroll. And Philip is sent out there, and he goes, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I except someone teach me? That's an intelligent, educated man going, how could I know? I'll help you. And he's teachable. Be teachable. You'd be amazed how much you can learn when you're teachable. Romans chapter 10. Try to get through as many of these as we can. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So yeah, you're really zealous, but you might be zealous for the completely wrong thing. Being ignorant, and in this case, it means not I didn't know, but deliberately ignoring. The word used here means not to know, lack of information or intelligence, by implication to ignore through disinclination. So I don't want to know. Has it ever dawned on you that you might be the ignorant person that God's trying to change your heart? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. King James Version used the word ignorant. Same thing. Unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So people say, where's Jesus in the Old Testament? Well, in 1 Corinthians, it says he was there. Symbolically, that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. So he's saying, I don't want you to be unaware. Here's the reason. Don't ignore what happened to the people in the Old Testament, because the same thing can happen to you. We should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Do not become idolaters as were some of them. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And then in one day, 23,000 fell. Has it ever occurred to you that sexual immorality might lead to death? Oh, like, you know, why did that guy die? We are going to be so shocked to get to heaven and find out why even Christians died. There's consequence. Nor let us tempt Christ, as many of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Has it ever occurred to you that your complaining might have consequence? Just whining and wearing God out. We don't like it out here. We don't want to eat this stuff anymore. Just whine. Be grateful, be thankful, stop complaining. So he says, I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be ignorant. Don't act like you don't know. Look what happened to them. It can happen to you. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Oh, I got it all figured out. I've got it. I'm good. Be very careful. Because usually the people that think they stand are the ones that he can take out. No temptation is overtaking you except as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So now you can't be ignorant to that either. You say, well, I'm overwhelmed with these temptations. I can't get out. Yes, you can. Scripture guarantees it. We got to be patient with each other. We treat each other like we're stupid when all we are is ignorant. And you know how you can tell the difference in those people? People who are ignorant ignore other ignorant people. But the ignorant person who claims to know is not living it in the first place, so ignores the person who's really just ignorant. They don't know and need some help. And so we treat them like, well, what's the matter with you? Everybody knows that. When you're born again, you're a newborn. So you have to grow and you don't know. So look for ignorant people and don't be one of the ignorant people who treats them like they're stupid because they just don't know. Help them. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I like this little piece in here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 because someone has screwed up royally in Corinth and the hammer has dropped. And Paul is writing to him going, you got to back off. And look, we'll just jump in at verse 5. But if anyone has caused grief, in other words, this person, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Sometimes you don't spank a kid. You know why you don't spank a kid? Because they've already been whooped by their own actions. So be careful to not be overly, you know, sometimes it's enough. People get it. I sinned. I get it. The consequence of my sin is overwhelming already. So he says, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. Which I hated this when my dad would spank me. Oh, hell would break loose. Then he'd want us to climb in his lap and he'd tell me how much he loved me. I'm like, wow, dude, I'm terrified of you and you're telling me you love me. I'm going to get hit. You know, something bad's going to happen. Didn't make any sense. I almost died and you love me. Wow, this is a brilliant thing. Anyhow, from my perspective. Keep reading. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Why? We have to forgive lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Stop ignoring what you know about. The verse says, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Their mission statement, the thief, Satan's, their plan for our world and our lives is steal, kill, destroy. So don't be shocked when steal, kill, destroy shows up. That is what they're going to do. Somebody jumps in a truck and plows down a promenade and kills dozens of people, children included. That is steal, kill, and destroy. You can call about some other things, but that comes straight out of hell. That is not of God. And there are moments when even cops, not many, but all it takes is one or two to pull a gun, shoot someone in the back, and all hell breaks loose. And hell goes, now we got something cooking. We're going to get more people killed. Just like a forest fire. Just boom, just a little bitty spark. So don't be ignorant. Don't ignore the tactics. Don't be too severe. Forgive. Why? Because we know how he works. We know what his devices are. I guarantee you, if you have an issue you struggle with, you know when you're going to be tempted and where at least you're going to be tempted. Some people it's early in the morning. Some people it's at night after a certain time. Some people it's when they're alone. Somebody pointed out to me, halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Anybody ever heard that? Be careful when you're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. You can get in a lot of trouble. All right, last one, Ephesians chapter 4. A few pages to the right, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start with verse 17. This is Paul writing this church at Ephesus. He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's our world. Now, one of the ways you have to be gentle, I encourage you to be gentle with people, is look how it describes these people. Don't you be like the rest of the Gentiles, and how are they? The futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, they're not thinking what you think they're thinking, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. They're just doing what you do. So when you approach somebody like that, and they talk a certain way, they live a certain way, they go about their lives and are just whatever, if it feels good, do it. You go, how can you possibly live that way and you don't feel bad? Let me tell you something. They don't feel bad. And I could get a show of hands in here of people who've lived like hell, and when you were living that way, you didn't necessarily feel bad. You're having a big time. Except that sooner or later, God in his mercy, it's his kindness, it's his gentleness that leads us to repentance. So he lets something happen and we go, oh, this isn't working out too well for me. Or someone, just like a collision, comes in their life and shares the gospel and is living the gospel so that they can see it, not just hear it, and go, wait a minute, who is that person? And what did they just say to me? The gospel is like a nuclear bomb that you drop on somebody's life. Do not be ashamed of the gospel, because you can change somebody's life in a matter of seconds. I can take a watermelon seed and sneak in your backyard and shove it in the ground and let it rip. Because all it takes is a tiny little seed planted in the right spot. And boom, here it comes. Share the gospel, live the gospel. Because these people may look like they're stupid and live like they're stupid, but they're really ignorant to the things of God. And his life lived through your life, and the words that you share, and the life that you live, and the gospel that you unashamedly put into their hearts and minds can change them forever. It works.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We hope you're encouraged by Pastor Richard's unique way of challenging us to become more like Jesus every day. You know, that's been the goal of this program since day one, to be a place of hope and to help us grow in our faith journey. So as we come to the close of another program, Pastor Richard has a very important final word to share with you today.
Hey, this is Richard Ellis, and I just wanted to take a minute to explain how this works. A lot of people think it's some mega church or we have a big donor and that's how we fund this operation, but that's not true. We have radio stations that provide the mechanism to broadcast it, and the time on there is not free. But to make all that happen, it requires money, and that's where you come in. and you are the only source of that we have. We need your help to keep the lights on and do what we do. The listeners, that's all we got. So if you've been with us for a while and you say that you're blessed and you listen and, you know, you believe in what we're doing, just ask the Holy Spirit what your piece of this is, and whatever amount He tells you, send that. And we trust Him to provide for us, but that means we got to trust you to hear from Him and follow through with that. So God bless you. Thank you for your help. Please continue to pray. The world's in a bad spot, needs Jesus more than ever. And our prayer is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. God bless you.
Your new ongoing or one-time gift means more than you can imagine. It really is the difference between darkness and light, between uncertainty and stability for the future of this program. The website right now is richardellistalks.com. The simple and secure contribute page makes it easy to become a dearly appreciated financial partner. So thank you for praying about joining this critical effort in keeping the talks coming by literally keeping the lights on. Just go to the website to find out how. RichardEllisTalks.com. And until next time, we look forward to again joining you for more Richard Ellis Talks.